We speak of good men, good women often, and we speak that way as if they are the exception rather than the rule. We say, she's a good woman, or he's a good man. And the very emphasis of our voice emphasizes the meaning that we have connected to that. Recently, I was assigned the topic in speaking to a group of men who were in a retreat for 2 days from another congregation, and that was my topic. And they were spending that time in prayer and in singing and in study. And so we talked about what is a good man. In researching for that, I discovered to my amazement that there are not actually many passages that use that term. Not many good man passages. Perhaps you will find some that I missed. But tonight I'm going to approach it as I did in that lecture, looking first at the definition of where the good man originates, and then three understandings in the heart of a good man as detailed in the scriptures. Number one, as we look at that, in Matthew chapter 12, verse 35, Jesus said, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. When you look at the context of this passage, Jesus is condemning the people because of the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, which they had uttered. They assigned the words of Jesus to Beelzebub and said that Jesus did what he did by the power of the evil one. Jesus shows them the inconsistency of that idea and then shows them that what emanates from our hearts is descriptive of what is in our hearts. And understandings in the heart of a good man originate from the good part of his heart. Think of it this way. All of us have in the repository of our hearts all of those experiences, all of those bits of knowledge, all of those understandings from God's Word that we have heard. Under the right circumstances, we can pull those out. Jesus says that the good man is an individual who pulls out those good things. He makes choices and pulls out of that which is in his heart good things. An evil person pulls out evil things. And thus our attitude, our approach to life, is greatly affected by what we choose to pull out of our hearts. The heart then is like a treasury that has all of the good and all of the evil. And we are free will agents who choose to bring forth from our hearts. It was said of those before the flood that every intent of the thoughts of their heart was only evil continually. That does not say that there was no good and had never been good in their lives, but the choices that they were making day by day were continually evil. And it was because of that that God chose to destroy the world by a flood. When you look at understandings from the heart of a good man, you notice, first of all, passages like Acts chapter 11 and verse 24. Here, a good man is identified, and this good man you are very familiar with. Of Barnabas, it is said, he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Barnabas is a wonderful character to consider from many points of view. I want to think of him as a good man because of this passage. In the previous chapters, you of course learn about the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. You learn then their intervening chapters about the work of Peter as Peter becomes convinced by God through visions and experiences that Gentiles are to be accepted. Then we move the scene to Jerusalem, and you see Barnabas taking Paul, Saul as he was known then, and taking him before the apostles. They were so concerned, the people were, that this man who had been such a persecutor of the church he is preaching the gospel? How could they believe that? And so Barnabas took him and brought him before the apostles and declared to them what had happened to him and how he had had that experience on the road to Damascus and then had obeyed the gospel of Christ and had begun to preach. And so the scene shifts and Paul goes away for a period of time, back home it seems. And then word comes to the brethren in Jerusalem that good things are happening up in Antioch. And so they send Barnabas and they send to see what's happening and to exhort and to encourage the brethren that are there. And the Bible tells us that when Barnabas went there, that he began to do a good work. And then there is this, the verse following the one I read, verse 25, then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Now the point I'm leading to in this description of the work of Barnabas, this good man, is that there seems to be in the scriptures the idea that a good person in God's definition is one who has found his place in the scheme of things. I have told you about an elder who in nearly every prayer would pray, God, help us to find our place and fill it. I'm suggesting to you that every Christian, every follower of Jesus Christ has a place to fill. God in his infinite wisdom has blessed us and given us opportunities. But the task of knowing where we belong and what we can do and what I as an individual, what is my place, is such an important thing. I'm convinced that many people go for years, for decades, maybe most of their lives, not realizing what their real place is. Barnabas was one who seemed to understand that very well. He was a good man. And the work that he did in encouraging others, as you have read in the scriptures, the work that he did is so important. We cannot place a value on it. Would there have been an Apostle Paul had Barnabas not gone to Antioch? I think that is a fair question to ask. Evidently, Paul, in who would not be discouraged if when you were trying to preach the gospel, people rejected you? If they were afraid of you, if they kept bringing up your past, would that not discourage you greatly? But Barnabas went and he brought him, and together they worked there in the church at Antioch, and there was great success. You will notice too in your reading of the narrative of these chapters that before this time it is always Barnabas and Saul, Barnabas and Saul. But for a period of time, after a period of time passes, it is always Paul and Barnabas. He came to the forefront of that relationship. And Barnabas becomes the helper and the encourager. He had found his role. He had found his place. May God help all of us to find our place and fill it. May we understand that God has a purpose and a value for us that perhaps no other person can fill in just the same way. A second example of Joseph of Arimathea, recorded over in Luke chapter 23 and in verse 50. It is said there, after Jesus has been crucified, Luke records this very interesting verse. Behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and a just. The same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them, and so on. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. I cannot imagine. I shudder to think of what it would have been and how we would have looked back with such regret had the body of Jesus been desecrated. We are human beings and we value life. And in every civilized society, there is respect for the body even after the spirit has departed. You will recall the actions of David when he learned that the bodies of Saul and his sons had been mutilated, and he took action and went and got those bodies and gave them a decent burial. I do not know what the Romans would have done had this good man not intervened. Is it because of this single deed? I think it is, that the Holy Spirit pulls this man that we know nothing of otherwise and says, here is what Joseph of Arimathea did. He went in boldly and he claimed the body of Jesus. He had evidently the standing and had the courage, certainly, that Joe just mentioned. And so he went in boldly and he said to Pilate, I want to take care of the body of Jesus. And permission was given. He evidently had enough standing among the people that Pilate granted his request. And so Jesus was given a decent burial. In fact, a very good burial, and fulfill the ancient prophecy that said that he would be among the rich in his death. And so here, for one brief moment in this man's life, is the time when this good man does a great deed. It may be in our lives that there are those very special occasions when we will have an opportunity to come to the forefront and do what perhaps no other person might do. And this good man went and did this wonderful deed and saw to it, along with Nicodemus, that Jesus' body had the respect that it deserved. When you think about Joseph of Arimathea, perhaps this was the crowning moment of his life. There have been others recorded in the scripture. Esther was reminded of that fact when her cousin Mordecai said to her that she should take the necessary action to save her people. And when she expressed the fear and danger that existed with her going in uninvited to the ruler, he said, well, if you do not do this, deliverance will arise from some other. But know this, perhaps you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And so there are critical times in all of our lives when we are able to fill a unique place, when we are able to do that which perhaps no other person can do. Barnabas was such a man, Joseph of Arimathea. And these are called good men. They are good because they saw and realized, here is what I can do at this moment, at this time, and that's what I'm going to do. I am impressed with the comments of Brother Jim Cope on the passage in the book of Proverbs that says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I, for many years, understood that to have the emphasis placed upon the training. And of course, a great deal is placed upon the training of a child. But Brother Cole pointed out in his comments on that passage, train up a child in the way he should go. And so the emphasis on the child himself or herself, the idea that we should look into the life and heart of a child and try to figure out that inclination, that good thing that they want to do. It may not be what we want them to do or what we have carefully planned for them or that path that we may have chosen, but if we can figure out in the heart of a child the way that he should go and then encourage and strengthen that, I learned that not very well, I'm sure, in my years of teaching, that if we could figure out that which a young person was really interested in, and then encourage and boost that, then wonderful things could happen and people could rise far above even their own expectations when they were encouraged in his way. And so a good person in the scripture seems to be an individual who has discovered by prayer and walking closely with God and following his will, his place in the great scheme of things. And is trying to do just what his best service to God is. Now in this room, there is tremendous talent, and one of the great challenges to our elders is to encourage every good thing that they see in the hearts and lives of the members here. And so to see that and to encourage that and to have the wisdom to encourage us in the best that we can do, is a great challenge for our leadership. And it is a great challenge for each one of us as we think about ourselves. What can I best do in the service of God? What can I on this or that occasion and under these circumstances do that will bring glory and honor to the Master? I believe, number one, that is an understanding that seems to be in the heart of a good man. In the 112th chapter of the book of Psalms, and in verses 5 and 6, a good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. This seems to reinforce the idea that we are talking about, that a good person knows when to show favor. And he is one, she is one, who will guide his affairs with discretion. And so let each of us think about ourselves in light of our service to God and say, what is the very best that I can do using the talents and opportunities that God has blessed me with? What's the best that I can do in his service that is good? The second understanding I want to mention to you in the heart of the good man is that the good man seems to understand the flow of life and eternity. And to develop that thought, I want to look to Psalms 37, beginning at verse 23. This passage says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now I am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed." This passage contains the remarkable statement that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Again, I confess an understanding that I have revised in recent years. The thought that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, at first glance, may suggest to us that God chooses our steps and that they are ordered by the Lord in that sense. That to me smacks of Calvinism and determinism, and that God has some way taken over our will and that he is choosing all these things for us. I believe that that is only a partial, a misunderstanding of the real meaning of that passage. I think rather that the way the Lord orders our steps is in Psalms 1 and verse 6, the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I believe that God gives us the choice, and that we make that choice, and once we decide that we are going to be in the way of the Lord, then God assists us in that walk. And every step of that way, he blesses and strengthens and helps us. And it is in that sense that I read over the book of Genesis, chapter 24 and verse 27, of the servant of Abraham who was seeking a wife for his master's son, Isaac. And when he finally came to the realization that Rebekah was the one and she had welcomed him into her father's household, he made this remarkable statement: "I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my mother's brethren. I, being in the way, the Lord led me." And so I suggest to you that the good person is one who makes the best choices that he or she can. And when we choose to serve God, God assists us every step of the way. He will not make that choice for me or for you. Those are choices that we must make. We must decide that I am an accountable being and that I must believe and obey the message of the gospel. But having made that choice, and having committed our lives to that choice, then God will bless us every step of the way. Do you believe that? I believe that. I believe that with all of my heart. That He helps us each step of the way when we are determined to do His will. He will not choose for us. We will make that choice. But when we do that, our steps will be ordered and blessed by the Lord. The good man then is conscious of the hand of God in his life. He is comfortable with the idea of who he is and what he is becoming. He is not anxious overly because he realizes that I'm doing the best I know and God is blessing my steps each step of the way. Over in the book of Ecclesiastes, there is the wonderful passage there in chapter 3, and you are all very familiar with these verses, which say to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven, and then all of those things that are mentioned, a time to be born, a time to die, and so on, a series of contrasts in the next several verses. But in verse 11, there is this remarkable statement. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. And so the good person realizes that as I have made the best choices I know in the service of God, that he is assisting me each step of the way, and I'm headed somewhere else. There is eternity in my heart. And that the progression that I'm making in my life is leading to a better place. That is the fruits of having chosen to walk in the way of the Lord. And the Bible says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The third understanding that I find from the heart of a good man, as we draw out of the treasury of our heart good things, the third is this one over in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22. The Bible says, a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. I believe that the good man of Scripture is an individual who has come to think about and grasp as best he or she can the big picture. The idea that we are here, we are passing through, we are headed somewhere else. Brent alluded to that in the sermon. In fact, two or three of my points he got on this morning, I began to worry. But anyway, that notion that we are headed toward a better place, and the good man of Scripture is one who from his heart understands that I'm here, I will do what I can, but others will follow me, others have gone before. And like Shakespeare's statement that all of life is like a stage and we make our entrance and we play our little part and then we exit and someone else follows us. And the good person realizes the transitions that are taking place and that we are here, but we are only passing through. And so provisions are made with that with which God blesses us for our children and our children's children. And I think of that not only in terms of earthly possessions, earthly wealth, but also in the teaching that we do, in the practice that we practice, the examples that we leave, the state of the church, the body of Christ, to the extent that we may teach and influence. We need to be thinking about the next generation, the children. What will the church be like in their time? Are we preparing them for the world there? Are we helping them as much as we can with eternal principles that will serve them well in time to come? The good person does that. The good person leaves an inheritance to his children's children. I was impressed some years ago in hearing the address of a new college president where I was working, and he made the statement that in the history of our institution we have had many presidents and they have done many remarkable things, and some of those are names you would know, some perhaps you know nothing about, And he said, I recognize that I am at this time and at this place privileged to lead this institution, but I realize that someone else will follow me, and I will do what I can, the best I know, but I will serve my time, and then someone else will follow me. And while one might think, well, that's a rather dark picture, it is so realistic for us to realize that we are here, we must teach and leave examples and do the best we know, because there are others who are going to follow us and they will be influenced. And so the good person realizes that what is now is not forever, that what is now must be used to the best of our ability. And so we're briefly on the stage of life. And then too, in that, as we think toward the future, we must recognize that we will be judged as individuals. The Bible makes it very clear. While the church is important, and while all of us wish to be in the best situations that we can be in worship and service to God, that we in the final analysis will be judged as individuals. And that sometimes there are things that go on that we do not approve of, and we wonder, is this the best place? And am I where I need to be to do my maximum service to our Lord? There's a passage over in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19 that says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one who nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. In the preceding verses of that passage, Paul tells Timothy and warns him about certain false teachers. Actually, he calls those false teachers by name and says that their particular error that destroyed not only their faith but the faith of others was that they claimed the resurrection had passed already. And so they destroyed the faith of some. And while people by various movements and methods may affect the lives of many people, in the final analysis, it comes down to what you and I as individuals will choose to do in our service to God. We ought to make the best choices that we possibly can. But when I think of that, I realize that God knows. He understands those who are his. And my responsibility is to do the best that I can in the most effective way. That is an understanding, I believe, that comes out of the heart of a good man. There were those, even at Sardis, Revelation chapter 3, in a church that had many problems and evidently wore a facade that it was the true body of Christ, but actually it was dead spiritually. But there were even there a few names of those who had not defiled their garments, and the Lord said, they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. That expression, walking with the Lord in white, is used several times in the book of Revelation. And I think particularly of chapter 7, where there is the description of a great multitude. Evidently, the multitude of all of the saved are pictured there to John. And in this great multitude, as John beholds that in his vision, he asked the question, who are these people? And the answer was, sir, thou knowest, these are those who have come out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. And listen to this, verse 17. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Is that not marvelous? Is that not wonderful? That God will wipe away all tears. Another verse tells us that there will be no pain, no suffering, no crying, no death, that all of those things will be only a dim memory, if at all, that those things have passed away And now we are where there is eternal bliss. And so our goal must be set on that will continue forever and ever in the wonderful presence of the Master. And so I encourage you tonight, as you think of these three understandings in the heart of a good person, to want to be the good man, the good person of Scripture. Be such an individual who has those understandings and who takes those actions in the time that you and I have in this life. Tonight, if you aren't a Christian, you need to consider these things. You have, because you are here, because you are a human being, because you are blessed with life itself and a mind, a heart given you by the Almighty. You are in a position to make important decisions. You can decide to serve God with all of your heart and give Him your life and wash your robe in the blood of the Lamb. And that is what you do when you believe and obey the gospel of Christ. When you are immersed in water for the remission of your sins, the blood of Jesus cleanses you from all sin. And so you begin to walk with Him in white and be the worthy one upon whom He chooses to place great blessings in the after a while. I hope that is the desire of your heart. That is the desire of a good man. And if tonight you'd like to make a change in your life and we can assist you in that, we would love to do that.